The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Chris DeGaulle Show podcast.
Okay, guys, let's just rip. And Chris DeGaulle.
Chris DeGaulle. Chris, thanks for being with me tonight.
Chris DeGaulle.
I'm joined now by Chris DeGaulle.
Now, he puts the broad in broadband. It's Chris DeGaulle.
The Chris DeGaulle podcast is presented by USMedicalPlan.com. Save big money monthly and get better health coverage at USMedicalPlan.com.
All right, away we go. It's Friday. It's the, third day of February already? My gosh. And I welcome you to the Chris DeGaulle Show podcast. Glad to have you here. Yeah, the Chinese spy balloon is the news of the day, weirdly. And look, as I said on social media, it's not for me that there's a Chinese spy balloon that's menacing and the biggest threat we face. It's that it's there at all. It's like a big middle finger just floating over Montana. That's what bothers me about it. We'll get into it today with Jason Jones, border correspondent for Newsmax. He is a retired captain from the Texas Department of Public Safety's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division about the mess at the border. That, to me, this whole story just feels like more incursion by enemy forces or at least international forces. It feels like an extension of an invasion. For want of a better term. I know everybody's kind of snarkily, oh, it's a balloon, ha, ha, ha. That's not the point. Ed Morrissey will be here, too, from Hot Air. John Fetterman, the brain-dead United States senator that's not a figure of speech. He may literally be. It's a big Time magazine write-up about how he's become this uber-sympathetic and historic figure. And, of course, they're melting down on the House floor about kicking Ilhan Omar off the House Foreign Services Intelligence. That was where Swalwell got kicked off of. Foreign Affairs Committee, I think it was. Anyway, a lot of performance art going on the House floor, so you'll hear some of that audio coming up as well. Let me tell you about the guy that makes this show possible each and every day before we get going today. John Ruhlman, the guy at USMedicalPlan.com. I don't know what kind of insurance you have, but if you're buying it out of pocket and you don't call John, you could be missing out on big-time savings. I mean, hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars a month. If you're a small business owner and you pay your own freight, you buy your own health insurance, you know those premiums are through the roof. And if you're trying to cover your family, you know they're even more. I have a friend who has a daughter who has some special health needs. And in picking up the phone and calling somebody like John Ruhlman, you're talking about potentially a family of four who's self-insured, you're talking about maybe the difference of several hundred to $1,000 or more a month that John Ruhlman at USMedicalPlan.com can save you. So I'm begging you, if you buy your health insurance out of pocket or you're a senior, you're on a fixed income or your parents or somebody you know is on a fixed income, a quick and easy way to save money. No, you don't have to like cut corners and get worse medical insurance. I'm talking about cheaper plans that don't cover like a ton of stuff that you don't need. Maybe a more streamlined health insurance policy or dental policy or vision or hearing, whatever. Insurance policies out there that are streamlined and tailored for what you need, not covering the universe of stuff that you don't. John knows 80 different insurers that he works with. They have a customer care team to walk you through any kind of troubles that you may be having at present or maybe will in the future. It's one-stop shopping for cheaper health insurance and navigating the bureaucracy. USMedicalPlan.com or call John at 877-410-4321. 877-410-4321. And look for my face or you're not on the right website at USMedicalPlan.com. What the hell is this spy balloon business, Fast Eddie? Have you figured it out yet?
Just that it exists.
What the hell is a spy balloon?
It's surveilling the U.S. It's a Chinese spy balloon, yeah.
Spy balloon? Like what is it, 1930? Like, that is the most unimpressive. Like, I thought the Chinese were supposed to be, like, super sleuthy and highly advanced. I just kept thinking of it, balloon. The U.S. is tracking a suspected balloon, a high-altitude surveillance balloon. I've seen some footage of it this morning. It's what it looks like, a big round beach ball floating high in the air. Defense officials said yesterday, discovery that risks adding further strain to tense U.S.-China relations. I'm no spy interceptor by trade. Never worked in the Pentagon. Don't know anything about our intelligence communities. I'm not a military guy. I feel like a balloon hovering over our airspace could be dealt with.
I agree with you, Chris.
Maybe there's someone in the audience who can school me on this, but is that, I mean, you know, if you say it's a fast-moving rocket, a jet, even a helicopter, a drone, there's a lot that I'll hear and go, oh, okay, that sounds a little alarming. There's a hovering balloon? A balloon? Like, in elementary school, we used to do balloon launches before, I guess that was considered environmentally hostile. You would tie your name and identity, you know, your name and address on a balloon and let it go and ask someone to write you back if they find it. That seldom worked out. Every now and again, some kid in the class would get a letter like, you know, months later. Most of us never did. That's essentially what the Chinese are using to spy on us today? Boy, time's supposed to be tough. Inflation is real, folks. You know what Gordon Chang writes, the coming collapse of China? Our friend Gordon Chang has written that. This may be a sign. The best they've got to spy on us now is a balloon. Like a helium balloon from Hallmark? Or they go to the florist? A balloon. So you shoot it down then. I mean, I remember my wife and I took a helicopter tour when we went to Vegas years ago. They have, you know, helicopter tours where they leave the strip and they fly you over Hoover Dam. They fly you down into the Grand Canyon. You have a little lunch and then they fly you back and then you fly down the strip to get back. Really cool tour. Although I will say when we scheduled that, there were a lot of horrific coincidental helicopter crashes at that same time. And we were more than a little unnerved. But anyway, we took it. I remember as a young man, that was pretty expensive too. But anyway, you go up in the thing and I can't remember which military installation it is out there, but there's one. And the helicopter pilot, as we're flying down the strip, points to sort of a mountain range not far from the strip. And he says, you see, I can't remember what he points to exactly, but I'll never remember. I will always remember what he said. He goes, you see that over there? And he kind of points off to the distance. I said, yeah. He goes, we get too close and we'll have company quickly. I said, what do you mean we'll have company? He goes, well, that's military airspace. And so if I were to get over into that direction, we'd have some F-15s on us quick. And I thought, okay, well, we can just land right here then. That's fine. But that always stuck with me, that this little, commercial helicopter tourist guy pilot was like, I know where I can't fly or we'll be quickly escorted to the ground or taken to the ground. Now, that was a guy touring the Grand Canyon in a commercial helicopter that's obvious and everybody can see and knows what it is. A Chinese spy balloon is apparently, I guess, still at this hour just hovering over our airspace. And we know what it is. And we can't shoot it down. Huh? Is it over Rehoboth? Maybe they're looking at more documents. Speaking on background, a senior U.S. defense official said senior military officials have advised President Joe Biden not to shoot it down for fear the debris could pose a security threat to people on the ground. So we just let it stay? Okay, so the Chinese have figured out the easiest way to spy on us is let something float over our airspace. And our response is, let's not shoot it down for fear it will hit someone's house or car or someone on the ground. I feel like there's a in between here. I feel like you shoot it down and then you. How about this? How about you? Again, I'm no coordinator. Where are they saying it's floating roughly now? Did you get that?
Yeah, over Montana.
Okay. Montana is one of the least populated states in the country, incidentally. The north central or northwestern part of the... Okay, so it's floating over Montana. How about you ask every Montanan at noon their time? Let's say, how about, again, no coordinator am I. But let's say, hey, Montana, I need a favor. Could every Montanan go inside at noon? We're going to shoot a Chinese spy balloon out of the air. We need everybody to just go inside and hang out till about 12:30. Deal? Do you think we could get Montanans to agree on that?
I think so.
In fact, I'll bet American taxpayers would even agree to pay for any damages to any property that should be damaged when the Chinese spy balloon refuse hits the ground and maybe damages someone's car or home or property. I'll bet the American taxpayer would be perfectly comfortable with pitching in to make that person whole, if in fact that happened. Wouldn't you think?
I think so.
I think there should be uniformed agreement that we need to immediately take down the Chinese spy balloon. I don't think this is hard. I don't think it should be a protracted discussion. It seems like it's something we should deal with and be done. Anyway, with the balloon's current flight path, carrying it over a number of sensitive sites, the official said it does not present a significant intelligence gathering risk. What? Reading this from CNN, and only they could write something that makes it no sense at all. Did they not just contradict themselves? While the balloon's current path carries it over a number of sensitive sites, the official says it does not present a significant intelligence gathering risk. How can both of those things be true in the same sentence? It's passing over a number of sensitive sites, but is not an intelligence gathering risk. The balloon is assessed to have limited additive value from an intelligence collection perspective, the official said. The official said, nevertheless, we are taking steps to protect against foreign intelligence collection of sensitive information. We are also tracking what abilities it could have in gaining insights and continue to monitor the balloon as it was over the continental United States. The U.S. believes Chinese spy satellites in low Earth orbit are capable of offering similar or better intelligence. Oh, well, then, that's why you don't shoot down the balloon. They're already kicking our ass in other ways, so whatever that balloon's gathering, I'm sure they've got something else more effective that we can't shoot down, so why bother? This does not read well for the United States government, does it? This kind of weird laissez-faire delivery? Oh, yeah, they're flying over some insensitive installations, but compared to what they could be watching, compared to what they are doing, this balloon really isn't that big a deal. This is just tantamount to, we'll do it later. This is like my wife says, hey, how Saturday the weather's going to be nice. Let's clean the garage. No, that's when you go, meh. That's just, you make dismissive statements to that, not, should we shoot down the Chinese spy balloon? They're fine. What's the worst they can do? What a strange reaction from the United States. Unless, of course, the United States is being run and compromised by people who benefit from China taking full advantage of us. That's a thought. The U.S. believes Chinese spy satellites in low Earth orbit are already doing a better job than any balloon, so let the balloon hang around, apparently.
Chris, if you are the U.S. government and you are studying this thing, why this press team just fails on every level? Why not come up with something better than what has been confirmed? If you're studying the darn thing, then don't say that you're studying it.
Yeah.
Do it.
We're trying to understand the circumstances and verify the details of the situation. I'd like to stress that before it becomes clear what happened, any deliberate speculation or hyping up would not be helpful in handling the matter, says the Chinese spokespeople. China is a responsible country. We act in accordance with international law. We have no intention of violating other countries' airspace. We hope relevant parties would handle the matter in a cool-headed way. Well, meanwhile, Canada said yesterday they're tracking the balloon's movements and working with American partners. Oh, good. Trudeau is on it. So if you're keeping score, we have former presidents and current presidents' homes being raided daily, it seems, for classified documents, but a foreign hostile government has a hovering spy balloon over the United States, and our official position is, it's fine. I'm having a hard time keeping up, I must say. What brings us alarm, what's supposed to bother us, and what apparently doesn't bother us, I'm completely mixed up. Documents do not excite me. Chinese spy balloons get me a little on edge. And we're being told just the opposite this week, that the documents in the garage are the bigger deal than the Chinese spy balloon. Okay, sure. Well, it didn't take long, ladies and gentlemen. John Fetterman has gone from incapacitated vegetable that you and I are stunned won a Senate seat to now a trailblazing champion. Time magazine has done a lengthy profile on the guy that won a Senate election not able to speak or communicate in Pennsylvania. And lo and behold, what wouldn't you know, they've turned him into an advocate for the disabled. And those of you like me who wondered, how is he going to do his job as a senator if he cannot speak and he can't understand what people are saying to him? How, this job is about debate and deliberation, lots of meetings, lots of talking, lots of listening. He can't do either of those things. How's he going to do his job, you and I asked during the election? Didn't seem to matter. He won. And so Time has written a piece, not about how awkward this is, but rather how the Senate needs to conform and why he's heroic. The 164-year-old Senate chamber was not designed for wires and screens. No, in fact, that's a good thing. That's actually a tradition that they've pretty much insisted on. Senators aren't even allowed to use their phones while they're inside. Also a good thing. But to help with freshman Senator John Fetterman's stroke recovery, the chamber just got a digital upgrade. Yeah, so again, rather than the traditions of the Senate being kept, John Fetterman has now gone in and created an entirely new 164-year-old tradition thrown to the side, and now the deliberative body, where they actually have to speak to one another, is now going to be mic'd up and wired up like some NFL halftime show. And John Fetterman, we have to thank for this. He's a hero. You see, the Senate was antiquated before with people talking to one another, listening and debating to one another face-to-face without machines. But now, thanks to John Fetterman's infirmities, as Fetterman learns how to do his job while struggling with lingering auditory processing issues. Incidentally, when did he have his stroke? It was May before the Democrat primary.
It was the Friday before the May election day. So it's like he had a stroke Friday. Election day was the Tuesday right after that.
Of 2022. Two. So we're not quite a year out from his stroke?
Correct.
I don't know how long it takes one to regain function or you rule it not regainable. Feels like it's been a bit. I mean, are they speculating that he'll come back? Or this is just his new state? Forever. I haven't heard. They won't say. And of course, we weren't allowed to talk about that during the campaign. But anyway, John Fetterman relying on new tech, the new assistive technology installed in his workspace, requires some adjustment from colleagues in an institution known for its stagnancy. You see, even John Fetterman's stroke is progressive and transformational. He's a hero without even having to show up. Most of us who have strokes because we're violently overweight would be disqualified from doing work. If you're a Democrat, you actually get credit for being disabled by a stroke. Your poor health actually gives you credit as a trailblazer. This is really quite a story. It's the Senate's fault that they haven't been able to accommodate a stroke victim until now. And thankfully, John Fetterman is kicking in those doors. The auditory processing issues that sometimes make it difficult for Fetterman to communicate became a focus during his Senate campaign last fall. Well, yes, because when the universe used to be normal and aligned, that would be disqualifying. But we don't live in normal times and there's a spy balloon just hovering overhead and everyone's going, meh. Opponents criticized the Pennsylvania Democrats' interview with NBC, which relied on closed captioning technology to understand the reporter's questions. You remember that, right? They were flipping out that NBC reporter showed and mentioned that he needed a machine to understand her and communicate, and that when she tried to talk with him by herself before the machines were fired up, he couldn't understand her. And, of course, you saw the swearing in. I didn't talk about it because I was trying to be a better man. You saw him at the swearing-in with the Adams family in January. You saw those pictures, I'm sure, with Cackle Britches swearing him in and him just standing there like a dope, like a wax figure, because he couldn't hear or understand anything. It was actually rather pathetic. He just stood there clutching his hands, staring, awkwardly smiling while people are conversing around him, and he just stood there like a mannequin, like a big menacing dummy. He just stood there. He can't understand people speaking around him. According to information shared exclusively with Time, the Sergeant at Arms has installed a permanent live caption display monitor at Fetterman's desk in the Senate chamber that can be raised or lowered depending on whether he's sitting or standing. Incidentally, is he going to be giving Senate speeches? Because that's also a part of it. You rise to speak and make a case for a piece of legislation or a nominee. Will he be doing that? He's a United States Senator. Every state gets only two of them. We already have one that's barely missing in Pennsylvania. What about Bob Casey? So you got a guy that's never present and then a guy who's physically present, but that's about it. Boy. Pennsylvania effectively has no senators. I mean, that's really, when you get right down to it, Pennsylvania has no senators. One who can't speak and one who just prefers to not. There's a similar monitor with a custom desk stand that can be placed on the dais when he takes shifts presiding over the Senate. Both wired screens will work without internet if needed, relying on the Senate Office of Captioning Services, stenotype machines, caption encoding hardware, and the Capitol staff itself. The machine also has further plans to improve, plans to improve the setup at Fetterman's desk with a monitor stand that blends better with the desk's antique woodwork and can be electronically adjusted. New colleagues adjust. When Fetterman arrived at the Senate orientation, Bob Casey noticed some other lawmakers weren't sure how to interact with the new senator. This is remarkable. They have made him a pitiable figure. He's handicapped. And as such, this clunky old Senate is learning how to become enlightened and accommodate the senator who doesn't know how to, who can't speak or understand people speaking with him. Before desks got reshuffled, Senator Tammy Duckworth, Illinois Democrat, sat next to Fetterman on the Senate floor. She found it easy to converse with him. He got his iPad and he just reads speech to text. He's been very engaged. And then, of course, they mentioned that Duckworth lost her legs while in service in Iraq. Not exactly the same thing. Having a stroke that disables you from speaking is not the same as losing your legs in an explosion, but okay. Disabled senators have gotten other accommodations in the past as well. And they go on and talk about what a hero John is and how this is just the Senate keeping up with the times. And, hey, this blazes the trail for other vegetable people to run for Senate. Who needs a walking, talking, thinking, functioning United States senator? So continuing to, and again, folks, it's not about disabilities. Just stop it. This is not about somebody who's lost a leg. This is not about somebody who's even not sighted or can't even hear. I mean, like, you know, like, but by the way, I bet you there are people in this audience who know those who have no hearing or no sight. And I bet there would be a healthy debate amongst them if that's disqualifying to be a United States senator. Not to be cruel. I don't mean it to be cruel. I don't believe in, you know, alienating people with disabilities. But there are certain tasks you have to be able to perform to be a United States senator, are there not? So is the takeaway that now you can even have a debilitating stroke that renders you unable to communicate, understand language, or speak? And thanks to John Fetterman's bravery, now that's the new standard to be a United States senator? I don't know. I'm having one of those I look at the news and nothing makes sense days. Bob Spinato at Williamsburg Dental. My dentist, a great friend. I was telling the radio audience in Philadelphia about Bob. Not only is he a top cosmetic dentist in the region, but if you are someone who is terrified of the dentist because you think to yourself, well, I haven't been in decades. And I have had listeners reach out to me and say, I haven't been to a dentist in 30 years. I'm kind of embarrassed of my mouth. I'm embarrassed of my teeth. I'm afraid of what he's going to see in there. I get it. So does he. And here's what I promise. He's not going to make you feel bad, berate you, tease you, run you down because you haven't been to the dentist. He just wants to fix whatever's bugging you, all right? If it hurts, you're in pain. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to make you feel bad. He's going to respect your time. You know, when you make an appointment, you're going to be in the dentist chair at your appointment time. And he doesn't race through appointments to get to the next one. He's not looking past you and talking past you. It's just, it's a kind of patient care you would really want from everybody in medicine or dentistry or eye care, but it's so lacking these days. Bob insists on a patient care level that is unprecedented, never mind the cosmetic dentistry work that he does. I mean, he's talented and gifted at his work, but it's the care, the investment in the people, his team, and then the people that he treats. You've never seen anything like it, I guarantee you. And I've yet, in the 11, 12 years I've been talking about Bob on my radio shows, no one has ever said anything but glowing things in review once I send them to Bob. So I hope you'll call, and you'll get a professional teeth whitening kit that's normally $500. You'll get it for just $200 if you ask for it. Say, I heard Chris talking about Bob on the podcast. I'd like that teeth whitening kit for just the $200 value. All right, 610-353-2700, 610-353-2700, or make an appointment in Broomall right off the Blue Route. You Philadelphians know where that is, williamsburg-dental.com. Some other stories today that I just wanted to touch on. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been announced the State of the Union rebuttal speaker for the Republican Party next week. The Husk. What is this, Thursday the Husk gives the State of the Union?
It's Tuesday.
Or Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
All right, Tuesday. So, So we'll be all over that, of course. But the Husk does the State of the Union on Tuesday. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the newly elected governor of Arkansas, has been chosen to give the rebuttal. Pretty good pick. I like that. You happy with that choice? Is there somebody better? DeSantis, maybe?
So.
Yeah. Why not DeSantis?
Oh, I would love DeSantis. I just think the RNC is in a... I don't know if they they can pick someone like that if you know, Trump is mouthing off too.
Yeah. No, that's true. By the way, I guess Trump went on the Hugh Hewitt show yesterday and started... I know whatever he said is problematic because Joe and Mika seem very excited about it. I'm watching MSNBC this morning... enthralled with something Trump must have said on Hugh Hewitt's show yesterday morning. And it had something to do with DeSantis. Because I read the Chiron this morning and it said Trump claims DeSantis came crying to him. But the thing is, here's what's kind of interesting. And I will just say this. The more Trump hits DeSantis, watch for this. They hate Trump so much. They uniquely hate Trump so much watch for DeSantis to become almost sympathetic to people like Joe and Mika, for instance. And I don't know what that does exactly. I don't know what dynamic that creates. In the short order, the media actually may go soft on DeSantis, almost defending him as Trump continues to swing at him. Now, that won't last if for some reason DeSantis ends up getting the nomination rather than Trump. It's not going to last. I mean, they'll crucify DeSantis just the same as they do Trump. But it could be an interesting dynamic. The more Trump piles on DeSantis, the more left-wing media may be forced to almost defend DeSantis. Just watch. I'm not saying I know for certain that's what's coming, but could happen. Dr. Peter McCullough, great friend of this show, district judge vindicating him this week, dismissing a lawsuit filed against him approximately 2 years ago by his former employer, Baylor Scott and White Health System. McCullough, dubbed a prominent purveyor of COVID misinformation by his detractors, sued by the health system 2 years ago for allegedly violating a separation agreement and bringing the Baylor Scott and White Health name into the media. An associate judge of the District Court of Dallas dismissed the suit with prejudice. McCullough told the Daily Wire, "This is a strong victory for freedom of speech, fair and balanced publication, and media presentation of clinical data as it has emerged over the course of the pandemic. My analysis and conclusions has been accurate, consistent, and has always been my own, not those of any institution." The hospital accused McCullough in the $1 million lawsuit of reputational harm, stating McCullough gave several media interviews and was published in journals that mentioned the hospital as an affiliate, even though he had parted ways with the employer. The hospital continues to issue written statements saying that McCullough's views don't represent those of the healthcare provider. So that's good news. McCullough is vindicated in court, and the lawsuit from his hospital group was thrown out. There's an internal Biden administration memo that shows they were, in fact, serious about banning gas stoves. If you remember that lunatic energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, I think we started the week. She said, that's not, no, we never were serious about, that's ridiculous. The whole thing is silly. Oh, is it? You know the trick of the left, float a thing out there that sounds outrageous, then they dismiss it as outrageous, and then behind it is always, obviously, the real truth. The memo dated October 25th, 2022, by Richard Trumka Jr., President Biden appointed to serve on the five-person Consumer Product Safety Commission, wrote to a fellow commissioner that there was sufficient evidence for the agency to move forward with a notice of proposed rulemaking to ban gas stoves in the near future. Trumka's memo was titled NPR Proposing Ban on Gas Stoves. There is sufficient information available to issue a 2023 fiscal year proposition to ban gas stoves in homes, he concluded. Trumka's internal memo shows that plans to restrict gas stoves were set in motion months earlier than previously reported. It also cast doubts on comments recently made by Trumka and other administration officials that such a ban would not be considered. Months after the memo, Trumka made headlines when he told Bloomberg in January that any option is on the table regarding gas stove regulation. So, shocker, they lied. Not hearing a lot about the New Jersey councilwoman Republican shot and killed, are you? Eunice Dwumfor, the first sitting elected official in recent memory who had been shot and killed in New Jersey, Phil Murphy said yesterday, governor of New Jersey. Middlesex County prosecutor Yolanda Saccone told ABC News the councilwoman's political position does not yet appear to have played any role in the homicide. So a black Republican is shot and killed. I ask you, if a black Democrat officeholder was shot and killed, would we be cautious and careful, and would we immediately come to the conclusion that at this moment there does not appear to be any political motivation? If a black Democrat of any stripe, anywhere, councilperson, dog catcher, county commissioner, if a black Democrat was shot and killed, would we be treated to the careful reporting? I'm sure it has nothing to do with their affiliation. And by the way, her race is not even mentioned. She's a black woman. They're not even talking about it. A black female Republican That's like a unicorn being shot and killed. No, I'm sure it wasn't political. I doubt it was. I'm sure they're nothing. They're not saying a word about this woman. Tragic. And then finally this from The Guardian, losing their religion, why U.S. churches are on the decline. Churches are closing at rapid numbers in the United States, researchers say, as congregations dwindle across the country and younger generations of Americans abandon Christianity altogether. Well, should that surprise you? Where do you think that comes from? And at one point, I mean, I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. While COVID-19 has accelerated the decline, there is a broader, long-running trend of people moving away from religion. A survey by Lifeway in 2017 of young adults aged 18 to 22 who attend church regularly for at least a year during high school, they found that 7 out of 10 stopped attending church regularly. Younger generation doesn't feel like they're being accepted in a church environment. Or some of their choices aren't being accepted by those at the church. Well, of course, when you choose, when you're taught and you're told that you can choose to be a gender, yeah, the Bible doesn't jive with that. Rules for living, the Judeo-Christian values upon which the country was founded, and we've largely governed ourselves and fashioned our laws after, when culture tells you and public schools tell you that you can do and be and say and behave any way you want, and there is a literal book, the Word of God, that says otherwise, what are you going to pick as a teenager? The culture, of course. Okay, so shocker. Breaking news. Secular culture turns its back on God. You think that's new? It's literally in the Bible. I mean, it's not surprising to God. I love they write this like it's breaking news. Culture slipping away from God, turning its back on the church. Film at 11. Yeah, we have a few thousand years of precedent. And by the way, I know who wins that in the end. This isn't like the Super Bowl. I know who wins. I am sleeping like a baby now, thanks to MyPillow. And I have thoroughly enjoyed, in particular, the full body pillow from MyPillow. I don't know if you're a pillow snob. Most people have their preferences, certainly. That's what's so cool about MyPillow products. And now they have a MyPillow 2.0, which is for you who sleep kind of hot. And this pillow has some cooling action in it, in addition to being adjustable with Mike's fill, so that you can do all kinds of different firmness levels. There's like 4 different levels of firmness at MyPillow.com. So now they've got a cooling agent in their 2.0 version of the pillow too. So that's something to consider if you're looking for new pillows. But this body pillow, I sleep with it every night because I'm a side sleeper. Not only can I hug it because I like to lay on the side, I like to have something to hug, but I also now, I tuck it in between my legs. It runs the whole length of my body. I can tuck it in between my knees. And I don't know if you ever go get a massage or anything like that. They put that baluster, what do they call that, underneath your legs when you're getting, so it kind of supports your lower back and stuff. It is fantastic to have that full body, full length pillow to put in between my knees, to kind of hug, lay on the side. I mean, sleep like a baby, and keeps you cool too. It's the best. And whether it's the waffle blanket that's a nice addition to these Giza Dream sheets, whether it's a robe, whether it's the slippers Christine is adoring, whether it's the dog bed Dean loves laying in, MyPillow has just about everything that you could possibly want. It's like Bed Bath & Beyond, but without the politics that you don't like. In fact, just this morning, I brewed another pot of MyPillow, or My Coffee. It's not called MyPillow. That'd be weird. It's called My Coffee. Mike's got his whole line of coffee now. Now, the thing is, if you use my promo code, ChrisPodcast, if you go there and type in ChrisPodcast in the promo code, you can save up to 66% on everything on that website. Prices vary and savings vary, but up to 66%. So please, all of these products are American-made, or at least, made with American products to the best that they can. Nothing China-related, no Chinese balloon. MyPillow.com, use the promo code ChrisPodcast and save big. We regularly lean on the expertise of Jason Jones, a border correspondent over at Newsmax. He's a retired captain from the Texas Department of Public Safety's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division. Mr. Jones, glad to have you here this morning. Hello.
Hey, well, good morning to you. It's great to be with you.
You know, we've been talking about this Chinese spy balloon business today, and the thing about it is, I know that's not why you're here or that you have anything to say about it, other than it just continues to drive home the feeling most Americans have that whether it's to our south or whether it's a Chinese spy balloon hovering over Montana, it just feels like our national sovereignty, such that it is to put it mildly, very diminished, if not under attack.
I think that's well said. And, you know, any reasonable and prudent American who thinks that a Chinese spy balloon flying over one of our states and our military and the leadership of the Homeland Security Enterprise from the Department of Defense, NORAD, NORTHCOM commander, and so many others who failed to act that even allowed that balloon to not only reach our airspace, but then stay there. I think those are the things that we look at and we say, how in the world did we get here with such a level of failed leadership, not only in our elected leaders, but people who are in the highest levels of position to protect this country and to protect the American people. It's shameful.
There is a remarkable new line of pushback from the left on the border situation, and it goes like this. The reason our southern border is so overrun is because you Republicans and conservatives keep running around talking about how wide open our border is, and people to our south hear you guys constantly on TV and radio and internet complaining about how wide open our border is. You're basically walking, talking free advertisements for our wide open border. Literally what some Democrats are now saying. Care to respond?
Well, truth still matters. I'm someone that's not only been assigned to that border since 1999, and even right now, I'm on that border about every other week. And just got back from Alpine, Texas, and that is absolutely false. I will tell you that it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. The bottom line is this. When you tell the world that if you want to come to the United States, and you do, you will be allowed to stay here. And that USC 1325, the law, which is those who cross illegally between the ports of entry, is not enforced. And then people cross and they see how it's not enforced. The perception, Chris, drives migration, period. Because what you're not told is that most of these migrants have cell phones. When I'm down there, I've rarely seen a migrant that did not have a cell phone in their possession. And they work with long-haul smugglers, the alien smuggling organizations, and the Mexican cartels, who, by the way, put out on social media, if you want to go to the U.S., now's your time. And by the way, here's how we'll get you there. Here's how much it'll cost, and we can have you there by this time. See, those stories aren't told to the American people. The other part of this, Chris, that happens is that you got to ask yourself, if that's all true, then how do we have the lowest numbers going into this administration for illegal immigration at the southwest border? And then watch them specifically, Secretary Mayorkas and the Biden administration, create the exemptions to Title 42, which allowed unaccompanied alien children that if they came, they were now allowed to stay. If you were a family unit, that exemption was implemented, which allowed them to stay. And then not only that, certain countries. So right now, as we're talking, I think this will stun most of your audience. There are four countries being deported right now between the ports that are apprehended. Mexican citizens, Hondurans, Guatemalans, and El Salvadorians. That is it. That's why when I'm down on the ground with law enforcement, those four countries are who are always working with the alien smuggling organizations and the cartels. Chris, everyone else is allowed to cross, turn themselves in on the ports or between the ports directly to law enforcement, and then they're paroled or given a notice to appear to stay in the country. So if you are sitting there listening right now, the drivers of this, that's what has caused it, and it's the policies that have been implemented, and the data also validates it.
We're with Jason Jones. He's the border correspondent at Newsmax, retired captain from the Texas Department of Public Safety's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division. The articles of impeachment introduced, another round of them by Republicans. I don't know if you can or care to weigh in on the attempting to impeach a cabinet secretary. You know, certainly certain leftist media outlets just think it's some kind of outrageous move or political maneuver. But I don't know how one could argue that he's not only falling down on the job, but I would go even further and ask you, do you think the border is something that this president we ought to entertain impeaching over the same issue?
You know, whether it's decided to impeach the president or not, I, you know, that's the politics of that I really stay out of. However, I will tell you this. When it comes to Secretary Mayorkas, who is somebody who has been a part of the Homeland Security enterprise, and myself as somebody that has been a part of that, then what that basically means is, you know, a local, state, federal law enforcement or U.S. intelligence agencies or Department of Defense, people, professionals who have dedicated their life to service in this country. I'm one of them. And I can tell you that when I see them stand before the American people on the national stage and repeatedly lie, when I hear Secretary Mayorkas say that your border is safe and your border is secure, and he tells you that repeatedly, lying to you, he has got to go. And that I would tell you, I don't care if it's a Republican, I don't care if it's a Democrat. You cannot have people who are at the highest levels of this country consistently and continue lie to the American people and think that it's okay to get away with. The work person next that's put in position may be much worse than him, but he better not lie about it, because the national security implications are being felt all over this country. And I will tell you, Chris, I was in Philly. I'm one of the few national correspondents that came to Philadelphia, went to Kensington, and spent a week there looking and seeing the impact of Americans through the dead, through what the Los Chapitos, the sons of Chapo Guzman, and the Sinaloa cartel have done to Kensington. Make no doubt, this border has direct impacts to the overdose death crisis and the poisonings of families in this country. And Secretary Mayorkas, for that, has to go, because this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
That was my next question. You go to places like San Francisco, or as you mentioned, Kensington and Philadelphia, and they're not the only places, but they're two of the most prominent, and you regularly see footage of what you can only describe as these kind of zombie wastelands of humanity. You know, you often wonder, where does that come from? Why has that gotten so much worse, the poverty and the heavy drug use amongst the impoverished walking the streets? And you would argue, as I think you just did, that so much of that flows across our open southern border.
It absolutely does. And, you know, when I came up there, and during my career, I had the opportunity to be in a lot of heroin dens, from Houston, Texas, to Austin, Texas, and San Antonio. I mean, I was stationed in 9 different locations across Texas during my career. And I have never witnessed, ever, what I saw in Kensington. And, I, you know, my thoughts and prayers go to those families. We have not recognized, Chris, the impact of fentanyl. And we think, you know, oh, this is just another drug, or, you know, this is the same old drug problem we've always had. I want to be very clear. That is absolutely false. The problem is that Americans aren't told, and this is part of where I get so frustrated with the people in leadership of the Homeland Security enterprise and why I absolutely eviscerate them for what we are seeing on the national stage right now. The Chapo Guzman and the Sinaloa cartel, specifically his sons now, are directly responsible for the fentanyl crisis that you see in Philly. I know that because while I was there, I met with federal law enforcement officers who drove me around showing me exactly what was taking place, how the dope is getting there, how it's powder form, where in most of the country, you know, when I'm in Arizona, it's all pill dope. It's not in powder form. And how they came into Philly in 2010, and the Mexicans took over, specifically the Sinaloa cartel, from the Colombians, who took over the heroin market, and then in 2015 began giving fentanyl away free. Because you got to ask yourself, to any reasonable American listening, how is it that fentanyl has hit so much of this country so quickly, so fast? And what the story is that all Americans are just a bunch of drug addicts.
No.
And if we didn't have this supply problem, we wouldn't have this issue. What you're not told is how these cartels come in and give it away for free, get everybody hooked, and then start charging. And that's the real story of how this has happened, because in this country, we didn't have a fentanyl crisis. Around the world, there hasn't been a fentanyl problem. And so we not only know which cartel's directly responsible, we know which cells are responsible. What is our government? What is the Homeland Security enterprise doing to fix it, Chris? Absolutely nothing. We can't even get them to go down there and hit the labs. And that's at least a short-term solution to the long-term solution of designating them as terrorists. So, you know, if I sound frustrated It's because I just left Angel Moms in Phoenix, Arizona, with Border 911, talking to those families, trying to illuminate what these cartels are doing. I'm on that border all the time. And to see us sitting back doing nothing, and I know the cartels very well from building programs to go after them. You cannot do what we're doing. You can't sit back and allow them to operate without any pressure. Because when you do, this is what you get.
And this is why a Chinese spy balloon hovering over Montana offends me so much. Not because I think it's the most dangerous, menacing, threatening thing that we face. I think the Chinese are very, very sophisticated. They've done far worse than a balloon. The balloon, again, I'll close as we open, Jason. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of we don't give a damn. And whomever can do whatever they want domestically to the United States. That's what that balloon symbolizes to me, as you've just laid out so well at our South.
I couldn't agree more with you, Chris. And, you know, to the folks listening in your great state and the city of Philly, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you, especially the families who, you know, I talk to a lot of them. They feel absolutely abandoned. I'll just close with this, and that is that this is absolutely fixable, and that what we're dealing with will at some point get fixed. The question now is to what degree of damage to families across the country.
Thanks for your work, Jason Jones. Still at Newsmax as a border correspondent. He is on Twitter. Jason is spelled JAESON_Jones, if you follow on Twitter. Thanks for your time and coming back to see us. I hope you will again soon, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Great to be with you.
Always glad to have Ed Morrissey in the house. He's the managing editor over there at hotair.com, one of our great colleagues. We were just discussing moments before the segment that what was it if you had Chinese spy balloon on your card? Bingo. Who saw this coming? Chinese spy balloon is the driving news of the day. Good morning.
Yeah, Chinese spy balloon. You know, I got to tell you, I'm actually dumbfounded at how well the Matrix is formed, so it keeps us guessing every single moment of the day. I'm looking at the Board of Life right now, and I don't see anything about Chinese spy balloon. There's that thing where you get married. There's that thing where you have kids. I don't see any pegs for the little Chinese spy balloon.
I saw a guy, I don't know who I attribute it to on Twitter. I don't want to steal the thought, but it was pretty good. A guy yesterday happened to ask, he goes, "Hey, whatever happened to murder hornets?"
Yeah, well, they're coming back. I'm sure they're coming back. They're a sequel. You know, you got to do these things in stages, right? So you got Murder Hornets, then you've got Murder Hornets 2. They're back and they're angry, right? Or something like that.
Maybe they're riding in the Chinese spy balloon. Maybe. That's something to consider.
It could be full of murder hornets.
You know what I said about this?
That little canopy is.
In all sincerity, the spy balloon, Ed, to me, and, you know, there are people who are kind of reacting on Twitter. Tim Pool made a great point. He said, look, you got 85 million people on TikTok and we're worried about the Chinese spy balloon. It's a great point, but my point is not that I think the Chinese spy balloon is the greatest international threat we've ever seen. My point is it's just a big floating middle finger. It's what it feels like to me. Does that make sense?
Well, okay. Yeah, it does. It does. And look, I mean, I'm not even sure technologically what that gets you. I mean, doesn't China do satellites?
Yeah, sure,
I mean,
of course.
Position a geostationary satellite over the United States, and we wouldn't be able to do much about it. And I don't know that there's any increased capability from having, you know, a 60,000 foot or whatever it is. I think it might be a little higher than that. Surveillance balloon. I mean, the U-2s flew higher than that, but that was before we had really good satellite technology that had the real-time download type of capabilities and all that type of thing. I mean, if China is still at the air balloon over your continent stage, maybe we don't need to worry about them quite so much. The other thing, too, is we just signed a deal yesterday, apparently, with the Philippines to add 4 more bases there. You know, that's in pretty close proximity to Taiwan, and I think I'd rather take the 4 bases in the Philippines rather than a floating balloon over China. I mean, there's an imbalance here in terms of capabilities that have emerged this week, and I think China might be a little bit more worried about our bases in the Philippines than they're liking whatever they're getting from this balloon.
I just find the response to it odd. Oh, it's fine. It's nothing. It's fine. is kind of the official government position. And I just think that's it's such a weird, to me, it just feels like a big, like I said, middle finger. It's like taunting in football. Yeah, I mean, we still scored the touchdown, but, you know, a guy gets a flag if he gets up in our face and taunts us afterward. Like, it's not that I'm threatened by it. It just feels like, shouldn't we treat this more seriously? Or maybe we shouldn't. Maybe you disagree. I don't know.
I don't know. I think if we blow it up into a big, huge thing, it becomes something that you can, that becomes a negotiating point. Whereas, you know, if you're just saying, you know, whatever, have fun with your balloons. I think it becomes a sort of a nothing burger. Okay. You know, one of the things that came up yesterday or late yesterday was that apparently this has been going on for a while. This is just the first one that people have apparently tumbled to.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Pentagon's known about this for a while, and it's not just in this administration. Apparently, this goes back a few years, which again raises the question of why are they sending balloons over here rather than just positioning geostationary satellites? Now, maybe they're doing both, and there's some specific capability for in-atmosphere surveillance that I'm not aware of. But it doesn't seem that it's a particularly robust. It's not alpha country, you know. That's sort of a beta move. You know,
yeah.
Hot air balloon, that's a beta move. You know,
satellite is
an alpha move.
It's very beta. There's no doubt about that. Let me get your take on the Hunter Biden countersuit or whatever this is. I would love to know why you think now, all of a sudden now, after 4 years or more, Hunter Biden has decided to puff his chest up with his team of attorneys and start going after the computer repair shop guy. Like, why now? Timing is always interesting to me on things like this.
Well, I think it's been 3 years since he dropped off the laptop, and it's been about a little over two and a quarter years since it got exposed, because it was in October of 2020.
That's right.
And the reason why is because House Republicans just got control of Congress, and they're going to start having hearings on this laptop and other stuff around Hunter Biden's businesses and his legal activities and his non-legal activities. I don't know if you read John Hinderacher at Powerline this morning, but he took a deep dive into that Marco Polo trove where they've been going through the laptop, you know, bit by bit. And he says he recommends that people go over there and do a deep dive, but you're not going to come out feeling clean when you do. Apparently it's not an exaggeration that all of Hunter's money was going for hookers and blow.
Wow.
And it's all pretty well documented on the laptop. And, you know, John raises a point. Where is all this money coming from? Because clearly Hunter Biden is not a productive human being here. And so the money's got to be coming from someplace. And John thinks that the laptop is going to be basically a roadmap for House Republicans to uncover corruption in Biden Incorporated. And I think Abby Lowell, you know, Abby Lowell is no fool. He's a white shoe attorney in D.C. The guy's been around. So to send out a dumb letter like that, you got to know that they're desperate. They're trying to get people not to talk about this. I mean, they're naming all sorts of different people that are, you know, they're trying to get the Delaware Attorney General and the Department of Justice to do investigations of these people if they talk about it, because they don't want them talking to Congress about it. And I mean, that's a form of witness tampering. You're kind of getting up to the hairy edge of witness tampering with that type of effort.
Yeah.
And it's just another example of the weaponization of law enforcement, especially federal law enforcement, that not coincidentally, the House Republicans are also looking to investigate. This is a really risky move. I know Lowell is a really smart guy, but that is a really dumb move. And then, of course, the follow-up to that was like, well, just because we said that this was Hunter Biden's laptop does not mean that we're admitting that this is Hunter Biden's laptop. Dude.
Ed Morrissey. Dude. Ed Morrissey.
Let me explain to you.
Yeah. He's managing editor at hotair.com. Ed, I don't hear anyone, leftists, you know, MSNBC, CNN, not even they. Nobody seems to really quibble with the fact that Hunter Biden is, by any objective metric, a troubled guy who had no ability to earn the kind of money he was raking in on his own. I don't think anybody quibbles right with that. Some people try to make him sympathetic or don't pick on the guy. He has a drug habit. But that's the best they've got. So if we start seriously talking about where did all this money come from, that is a very problematic line of conversation for Team Biden. It just is. And that's what we've been. That's why I think the document story and just anything else we can talk about besides the flow of money to this family is what Team Biden would like to avoid, right?
Well, I think that the document story might tie into that.
Agreed.
And that's one of the reasons why they're trying to say, oh, no, we're being totally cooperative. Being totally cooperative while not allowing Congress to see the documents that were actually recovered, which Congress has every right to do. And I think that the documents there are going to, I mean, this is my guess, but I would guess that the reason why they're being so tendentious about this is because those documents are going to oddly parallel some of the work that Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden family were doing, and it's going to look very much like those documents were pulled out to further Biden-incorporated business interests, which will be a huge scandal all on its own if that's what this turns out to be. And I think the laptop might have something to say about that as well, or at least I'm pretty sure that that's what they're worried about. And they're worried that Republicans are going to be able to build a case on that. And so I think that that's the reason why they're trying to play hardball on the laptop, why they're trying to bury the document story. I think they're actually linked. And I think that you're right. The best way to do this is to follow the money, though. That's really the best way to do this.
Ed Morrissey at Hot Air. Let's get to yesterday's tantrums from the squad on the House floor. AOC. I mean, this was performance art like we haven't seen out of her yet. It was like, this is Oscar-worthy stuff. She's flailing. What you can't, if you haven't seen the clip, I mean, the head is bobbing. She's jumping. She's waving hands. She's banging on the podium. This is all in response to Ilhan Omar being kicked off the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday. Take a listen.
Gentlewoman is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you. Now, As a fellow New Yorker, I think one of the things that we should talk about here is also one of the disgusting legacies after 9/11 has been the targeting and racism against Muslim Americans throughout the United States of America. And this is an extension of that legacy. Consistency, there is nothing consistent with the Republican Party's continued attack except for the racism and incitement of violence against women of color in this body. I had a member of the Republican caucus threaten my life, and you all and the Republican caucus rewarded him with one of the most prestigious committee assignments in this Congress. Don't tell me this is about consistency. Don't tell me that this is about a condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks when you have a member of the Republican caucus who has talked about Jewish space lasers and an entire amount of tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology when my life was threatened. Thank you.
They just love, everything Democrats do sounds like they're giving a sermon in the Deep South. They just love the performance art stuff. Rashida Tlaib was on the floor crying, because Ilhan Omar's not on the committee anymore. Who are they playing to here? Donors?
Donors.
Yeah.
Donors. I mean, this is chickens coming home to roost. They set the precedent for this.
Yeah.
They didn't just kick Marjorie Taylor Greene off of one committee for making anti-Semitic remarks. They kicked her off of every committee for that. And they were warned at the time, you know, you're going down a bad path here. And if you want to set this precedent, we are going to, and they, I mean, the Republicans were actually pretty specific about this time, about it. When we take control again, we're going to be kicking these people off of committees because you have set this precedent. And, you know, Ilhan Omar, I mean, to do all this over Ilhan Omar, of all people, who is not just blatantly anti-Semitic anyway, but is an idiot.
Yes, yes.
she, I mean, smart people, you know, and don't get me started on Marjorie Taylor Greene about this either, but you know, smart people know how to at least disguise this a little bit. She was warned. She's had multiple issues with this, and I mean, this is I just found it amusing that all of this Sturm und Drang was you know exerted over Ilhan Omar. I mean, they would have been better off talking about Adam Schiff, and I think Adam Schiff should have been stripped of that committee assignment two sessions ago. But yeah, I mean, it's just Ilhan Omar. Yeah, that's a huge loss there. I'm sure she's a huge loss to the Foreign Affairs Committee. And if Democrats want to jump up and down and scream and bob their heads about the fact that Ilhan Omar is somehow crucial to this nation's approach on foreign affairs, I really think that that's sort of a denigration of the other, I don't know, what is it, 212 or 211 Democrats in the House of Representatives, almost any one of which or whom would be an ad plus replacing her on that committee. That's insane.
Ed, Bill Clinton returned to the White House yesterday, giving number 25, the Husk, welcomed his predecessor.
But I'm so happy to be able to welcome my president back to the United States Congress, back to the United States Capitol. Oh, no. And he's promised me that I'll be able to sit at my desk tomorrow.
Ed, I don't. Is there anything more uncomfortable than these two old coots together talking about the Oval? Yikes.
The time he went back to the White House when Obama was president and basically took over his press conference. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember that, yes.
Or the briefing room.
Yes.
Yes. That was actually a little bit more uncomfortable. This guy is never, ever, ever going to go away. I mean, he just isn't.
I have this working theory. Tell me if you think I'm crazy here, Ed. Here's my working theory. I think Barack Obama, just generally, I think Barack Obama has he thought the Clintons were useful. He thought the Bidens were useful. They were household Democrat stalwart family names. But I think they're of an era that Barack Obama doesn't respect even a little bit. And I have this working theory that really deep down Barack Obama loathes both of these people. Really. I think he has no time for them. And I think they're both being dispatched. I think the Clintons and the Bidens have officially been politically assassinated by their own party, led by Barack Obama. That's been my working feeling about this for a bit. Is that too far?
Yeah, I think no. I think you're right. I think that the Obamas worked with both of these groups because it benefited them. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, and that's just politics. I mean, that's not even a value judgment. It's just that's what it is. That's what politics is like. But you're right. I think that I don't view there's any affection at all from the Obamas for the Bidens or the Clintons. And I'm actually surprised that Obama didn't intervene a little bit more strenuously in 2019 to push Joe Biden off the stage. Mm-hmm. There were other options. They weren't great options, but there were other options in the field that year. And I don't think the Obamas really want to be involved. I know that there's a lot of things about, the Obamas are really running this administration. No, if the Obamas were running this administration, it'd be at least somewhat more competent than it is. I don't think they even want to be involved. I think they had their time and they want to make their money. and in that, they don't really have any time for Biden or for the Clintons. I mean, how often has Obama been back to the White House?
Yeah, he came back once and he totally dominated. And there's a horribly humiliating video of, Obama, shaking every hand. People just, like he's a, he's Harry Styles or something. And Biden is back. Oh, hey, Barack. Like Obama won't even acknowledge him. Kamala and Obama have got their backs to the president who's like tugging on his suit coat. Hey, could you talk to me for a minute, please? It's humiliating. So I agree with you. I think the Obamas like making money, but I think there's an ideology, and much of the Obama team, the Susan Rice types, the Valerie Jarrett types, the Ron Klain types, the political ideology of Obama remains strong and I think still guides and runs this administration. I don't think the Obamas themselves this idea that Michelle wants to be. I don't believe Michelle wants to be president. I think they like making money more than they like being in an office. I agree with you there.
I don't think Michelle Obama wants anything to do with it. If she wanted to run, she would have run. She would have run in 2016.
Yeah.
If she really wanted to run. I mean, the party would have just basically knelt down and bowed to her in 2016.
Yeah.
The rest of us would have howled that this is a third term by proxy. It's, unconstitutional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we would have been able to do nothing about that. If she wanted to run, she would have run in 2020, too, because the field was that bad. It was so bad it produced Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So she's had her shots. She's had her shots at it. If she had that ambition, we'd have already seen that. They, for her, I think she despised it.
Yeah.
I think she's Gisele Bündchen to Barack Obama's Tom Brady. And she gave him 8 years, and at the end of it, she enforced the retirement clause in a way that Gisele Bündchen couldn't do with Tom Brady.
I agree with your assessment 100%, Ed Morrissey. It's great to catch up again, my friend. Over there at Hot Air, check out everything Ed writes. I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
The Chris DeGaulle Show Podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.